Wir wünschen vorher, she looks very elegant, as young as a Cuban lady. I think we shall have to move towards the starting of the meeting. I think we've got only one item in the agenda today. The presentation by the department on the targeted regulation. And we know, of course, the South African older persons also that will make their presentation. But you know, this is a delegated legislation, and the regulations have just been published. The department has been receiving submissions from various organizations. But I think they would explain more on the published draft. And thereafter, South African Older Person Forum will also make its own presentation, its own comments. And then thereafter, we'll seek areas of charities. The committee cannot do that much in the sense that this is delegated legislation. We would depend on the wisdom of the department to give indication to what extent that they are able to accommodate all the views that may come out of this meeting. So the committee is not here to take decisions and tell what has to be done, what has got to be there, but just to have an idea and see which way the wind is blowing. Having said that, maybe let me start by introducing or people introducing themselves so that you can know who's here, which organizations are here as well. I see next to me there's PMG, which is always there anyway. Probably for the purpose of their own recording there that they do, probably they'll be more interested to know who's here. My name is Solo. I am a member of this committee. I know that I'm an alternate. I don't know how did that happen, but I think it's quite relevant that you cannot be a full member on more than two committees. How that happened, I don't know, because this was my priority committee. I started as an alternate anyway. And sometime during this parliamentary period, I was changed into I became a full member, then I became an alternate again. That's fine. Look, I'm a member, and I've got to contribute wherever I can. I act on behalf of the chairperson, who will be joining us not very long. That's me. I'm from Gauteng. I've got a rural constituency. You cannot call it a rural constituency anyway because it's in the urban areas. It's a farm constituency. I deal a lot with farm workers and poor and also. Thank you very much. Next caller.
My name is Zola Vice. I'm the committee secretary. Thank you. My name is Yolisano Genga, the representative for the committee.
Good morning, my name is Sean Whiting, I'm from the Deputy Minister's Office, the Parliamentary Liaison Office.
Hi, I'm Kira Lynn, and I'm from the South African Older Persons Forum.
I'm Beth Mayer. I'm from Community Care, Section 21, Social Housing Institution in Cape Town.
Can you put your mic on and then turn
on? Okay. Sorry, I'm Sue Parton from K3 Seniors Association, a volunteer-based community centre in Cape Town.
Can we start on the meeting? Because you've got members with no seats. So if we could say an hour to just check out the meeting, but when your chair comes, you still look at it.
But continue, those who have already introduced themselves can sort of Can you continue?
Mrs. Turok?
I'm Mary Turok from the South African Older Persons Forum.
I'm Harris Berman from Highlands House Age at Home.
Julia Kaplan from Highlands House.
I'm Winky Direko, a member of this committee, otherwise a facilitator.
I'm a member of this committee.
I'm Colin Samakas, a member of this committee from the Western Cape.
I'm Dimaga Zomorodi, a member of this committee.
Hilda Weber, member of this committee, representing in Mpumalanga.
Next, Mummy?
Yes, Karen, will you identify the family?
Yeah, Karen, tell me.
My name is Karen Feinberg. I'm project director of Rehoboth Age Exchange and GH Staff Centers in Hanover Park Old Age Facility.
Okay. I'm Myrtle Christian.
Myrtle Christian from GH Staff Center.
Morning Chair, Janet Semple, member of the committee.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm Thuli Mashang, the director for care and services to older persons with the Department of Social Development.
Good morning, I'm Jabulile Mushowa, Department of Social Development.
And I'm Caroline Sister from Parliamentary Management Group, PMG.
Right, let's deal with matters of protocol and order. Where's Zola? Now, seemingly the room is a little bit, you know, in a state of disorganization. But there's a formal, there's a protocol. This is a committee meeting of social development. We normally allow the public to be with us, of course. But there are matters of protocol where the public actually occupies a particular space within the room. We normally give priority to members of the committee to make sure that they are properly prepared according to their own seats. They don't sit along party lines, they sit as members of the committee, but they can speak on behalf of their parties on any issue. Then the department have to be properly seated. Now I see department officials, some are standing there, and others are sitting at the back. We would, you know, make a humble request.
Would you like me to do that?
No, no, you're an old person. We'll make a special arrangement for you. We would like to make a special request that all members of the department should sit around the table. Those coming to observe or they are here to represent their organization would give first preference to those two members of the department. But I'll allow for a 3-minute break to make sure that everything is in order and get more chairs. This thing we've got a lot of people.
Yes. So for 3 minutes we can see
if we still have enough space or not. I said, Okay, can we have everybody seated so that we can see if it happens? I'm sorry about what is happening now. Indeed, can I ask the caucus of the official opposition party to now be stopped? We are a very progressive country. Maybe next time you will have rules in parliament that says sharing of meetings should alternate between parties. Yes. That's okay. Okay. Can we have the door closed? Can we have the door closed? Thank you very much. It's such a pity. Let me apologize for what has happened and that we had to delay the actual starting of the meeting. We actually did not expect a lot of people in this meeting, nor did we invite organizations to come. But as we all know, the principle of people-centered democracy and public participation and all these things, there's very little we can do. People will bear with us for this confusion because we didn't make extra measures to accommodate more than 10 people. Unfortunately, there seems to be a lot of interest in the draft regulations that have been published on older persons. I want to reiterate, this is the correct way to reiterate it. That we are here to be briefed by the department on the gazetted regulations where organizations are still free to make input to the department. This is a delegated legislation. The committee does not actually take decisions, but we are just trying to monitor progress with regard to this matter so that we are fairly informed how is the department going to make a roll out on the services they are required to provide to elder persons. So the committee in real terms does not tell the department how to go about this thing. This session is more of getting information and what progress is going to be made to finalize this regulation. Those who still want to make an input, they are free to do so with the department, not with the committee. They should not come to the committee. They know the processes. They can still continue interacting with the department. For today, we are just going to get explanations, how they arrive on certain things, spell out what is in the regulation. Of course, we have indeed asked the South African Older Persons Forum to comment on this regulation because they've been working hard on issues of elderly persons, and I think they are a necessary partner that would assist in ensuring that our people get what they deserve. Other than that, there's nothing more we can do except once more to apologize for the disorganization that we had because we didn't have sufficient chairs for people to be seated. I think now they are more than sufficient, and the IT and the computer and the machine there, I don't know what is happening. It's working. Not in my control. That's a parliamentary thing, that they should get this room ready so that we as honorable members, when it comes in at 10 o'clock, we can start with our job. Now we're here. I was here at 10:15, and nothing was happening. Until 10 o'clock, when the, where are the IT people, by the way? Who's organizing this thing? I know, don't worry. Look, I'm just saying, we need to do things as business unusual, so that when it's at 10, I'm not the chair of this committee, but once the chair comes, in fact, this is a protocol. When the chair comes, we all stand up, and then we sit. and then start submitting a claim without any hassle. Before we start, anyway, on a lighter note, is there any member wants to say something? Henriette?
Yes.
Yeah, you can.
Yes, yeah, that's all.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I don't know, but please forgive me. You've raised the point, but I really want to drive it home because I really think we need to find a way of... We passed the Older Persons Act, right? And the regulations, I don't know why I'm sitting here today. And I thought before the meeting starts, I must voice my unhappiness right up front because I am not sure why I'm sitting here. And part of the problems I'm struggling with is that, rightfully so, regulations are delegated legislation. That's one. Secondly, they are still open for public comment. Constitutionally, Parliament has not developed a mechanism yet to interact with this regulation. Now, we are convening as a portfolio committee on a very full program to discuss one, regulations that are open for public comment. That is my problem, one, that I have. Because it's a delegated legislation. I feel that we're now interacting with the regulations at the same time while the public is still engaging. I want to engage with the regulations. But I want the regulations to come to me, including the public's comments, and the department must say, here with the regulations that we want to discuss that are complete, what is your comment? Because right now I looked at the presentation that's going to be made. I looked at the regulations and honestly, I really am very unhappy. Because I just feel at the end, once the public has made their input, we're still going to go back to these regulations. We still have that obligation to check for ourselves whether the public was truly represented. What are we doing now? It's an election year, it's a short year, we've got so much to do. We could have used this day better than we are doing right now.
Any further comments from members before I say anything? Right, in the absence of comments, I think theoretically you are correct. But I think this was the gentleman's argument between the department and the committee that they would like to come and highlight certain issues in the gazetted regulations where public are still making an input on it. I think
I think the view is that there's no problem in meeting the regulations this way. Because basically the understanding is that we are being briefed. The regulations as they are, I mean, and the Act, it's part of our oversight work. So there is no change much. And as such, also it helps Chair to always be informed and be exposed to information as it trickles in. You know, we're all going to be moving at the same speed with the department. By the time the comments from the public come, we will be, you know, on a moving gear, Chair. So in a way, Chair, I'm saying that was the view in terms of scheduling this session, Chair. That it's more of information, it's briefing. Obviously, we may not even get the other opportunity to engage with the regulations, as you and the Honourable Hopane Zulu has indicated that it's a delegated the delegated legislation that perhaps it's not obliged or obligation that it comes to us. So we would, I think we, I would say it might be the wrong timing, it might be agreed, but to have the regulations before us, it helps us to do our work better. Thanks.
Thanks, man. I think let's reach a consensus.
Against the Louis comment, I think we must stop going backwards and forwards and get down to the business of today.
Thank you very much, Vekaran. I was just about to say that. Let's reach that consensus and just get into the business of today. I'm not so sure. I don't know whether we did indeed indicate that we'd like to have, at least we'd like to have a summary of the public comments that have been submitted to the department. I don't know whether that has been done or not, but that's not an issue now. If it's not there, that's fine. But I'm told they are available. I think they'll be circulated in due course. Without any waste of time, we're already 45 minutes late. It's very unusual. Can we ask the department to make its presentation?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. Honorable Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, our members of the forum, all present today. We are here to present, for information purposes, I would say, the processes that we're engaged with in finalizing the regulations of Act number 13 of 206. So I would outline to you what we have done so far and what we have in front of us and what processes are left for us to finalize this legislation. So the processes that we engaged in once the Act was passed, we had the background, then the processes, the publication for input, and the current status, plus the challenges. Then on the way forward, perhaps it would be the questions and comments that will come from today. We first had to appoint a service provider to assist us draft the regulations. This service provider was given a brief to first study the Act itself and identify the empowering provisions for the regulations to be drafted and to assess the areas that needed to be regulated, as well as to assess what needs to be done in order to put the Act into operation. Once the first draft was there, we called the first... We called the first national workshop. At this workshop, we made sure that we had representatives from the NGOs who are rendering services to older persons. Most of those, we had those who were doing community-based care, as you know that our regulation was going to be shifted from residential care. So we tried to get as much as possible people who were already engaged in community-based services. We also had service providers who were rendering services to home-based care in an informal or formal way. We also had people from residential facilities. We called the older persons themselves, and we invited a number of departments to come so that we can, all of us, develop the regulations. We also called our South African Older Persons Forum, who represented the voice of older persons. We had the Human Rights Commission and the older persons. At this meeting, the first draft was interrogated by the group of about 80 people, and it was discovered that what was needed to be done was to have a task team which was going to consist of expert members in their field. So we had a number of task teams. So one of the task teams was to have a task team that was going to deal with residential care issues so that they can look at what needs to be regulated in the new legislation on residential care. We also had a new aspect that we felt needed more attention, the caregivers. This included the caregivers from home-based care and so on. So we had a task team that was going to look at the home-based carers. We also had a task team that had to look at the norms and standards that were supposed to be regulated upon, so that we can be able to see what would be the minimum norm versus what we had costed in the legislation. We also had to have a task team that was going to look at protection, because we had a special chapter in the Act that dealt with the protection. This is a chapter that was based on the ministerial committee that investigated abuse, so we felt we needed to highlight and have somebody coming up with a protocol. How are we going to manage this protocol? And we also had a task team that was going to look at the community-based care services. So once these task teams were formed, the meeting also agreed that we shouldn't end up with a national workshop. We needed provincial workshops, because at the national workshop, not everybody who was rendering service was able to attend. So we set up dates to go to all the 9 provinces to go and see their service providers, as well as their NGOs and government departments, to be able to present to them the draft and the inputs that were made on that day. So we had this date. We went to KZN on the 19th of March. We had to go to the Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, Free State, Gauteng we did in April, Western Cape, April, Limpopo was May, Northern Cape, 10th May, and Northwest on this date. On top of these dates, there were task team meetings that were held, because each time we came from a province, we had to bring those inputs to the relevant task team to say, from this province, more issues came for task team that was dealing with caregivers. Most of the issues on caregivers was the conduct of caregivers, as well as what type of protection are we going to have, as well as how are we going to train our caregivers to be able to be of the quality that we had said. So the task team met, and we also had the older persons forum that also wanted to have an idea what was happening. So there was another special meeting that was called around the end of November, around 19th or so, mid-November, to look at what we had, so that we can now draft and put those inputs in for us to be able to come up with the draft regulations that we eventually publish in the government gazette for other public members to comment on. So once this draft was sent, it was more around the festive season, because it was published in November and our closing date was supposed to be in December, but the inputs themselves were not as that fast. Some of them are still coming, and some organizations who wanted to make inputs approached us to say, can you extend your closing date, because we still are interrogating your regulations, so we can't adhere to the closing date. So the inputs that we have currently are those that are from the organizations that have listed here. It's the Kerk Maatskaplike Werk, ZABS, South African Older Persons Forum, the province of KwaZulu-Natal, that is their forum. They also made their own input as a forum. We also had inputs from the South African Human Rights Commission. We also had one from Vaal Highway Highland House. We had input from Action on Elder Abuse South Africa and from the National Department of Health. What issues came out clearly to us with what we're still dealing with now was that, in the general view, the regulations seem to be lacking a monitoring tool. There are issues that are quite impressive, but there seem to be no tool to say how are we going to monitor that the standards, the minimum standards that we have set is going to be utilized, and how are we going to change from the previous regulation to make sure that our service providers are adhering to the regulations that we have set or to the new Act. And another issue that came forward from, I think, the forum was that it looks like government
was going to provide basic service, and still people were going to be able to have different services. This is how we had costed the act, because when we costed the act, we came up with what we thought was the basic service, but it was too expensive. Then we came up with three sets of levels. We had the basic service, we had the tertiary service, and the intermediate service. Then those were the three services. Then we said government would be able to provide for the basic service. But those communities or those people who want to have extra, we will not stop them, but we will be able to provide the basic service. So this seems to be an issue for people to say, why highlight the better service when you will only be able to provide the basic yourself? But we were trying to convince why the costing was still that high, even if we're providing the basic service. And also, one of the issues that was raised was the fact that the service level agreement seems not to be available in the regulation, and it's only applicable once you start wanting to render the service. We are trying to indicate that this is covered in our financial awards, but this will be clearly once we have finalized the regulations. These are some of the issues that the people have raised. The issues that are raising also a lot of challenges to us as well is the fact that we seem to have been using a number of terminology ourselves. So those are the things that we need to correct when we now bring to you the final documents, because somewhere we say minimum standard, somewhere we say national and or the lowest standard you can reach. So those are the issues that we still need to thread out. It's more on the terminology and the grammar that we are using. So we need to be consistent with other acts. We don't have only to look at our own act. We need to look at the Financial Awards Act as well as to look at policy, as well as to look at what the service delivery model says. So most of the terminology must flow so that it can indicate that this is the same service that we're talking about. And also there's an issue about the application form. Our form indicates that you can fill in your name or you can fill the name of the organization. And most of the issues that came forward are saying it looks like the application form is more for people who've been functioning longer than those who are to start. We thought it was simple because the person who's coming for the first time will indicate that this is the first time he applies, and those that are applying for the second time would be able to indicate. But those are the things that we will stress out when we bring the final level. And then the levels of intervention for services also seem to be causing a problem to the people who read the regulations. This is in line with our service delivery model, where we say the first level will be for prevention. So that would be at that level where we try to prevent you from coming to residential care. It doesn't mean that we won't be able to render a service at that prevention level. We still render the same service at the basic service at prevention level, be it in a community-based care or whatever. And also, the last level would be the level for continuous care, where the person would need complete care or would require to go to a residential care facility or to a free care or home-based care. So those are some of the things that came forward in the issues that we have been trying to understand. And then we're now in the process of incorporating all those and trying to indicate the challenges that we are faced with. As you could hear what I was saying, that the people are raising some issues. Some of the issues cannot be regulated upon. Some are policy issues. So those are some of the issues that people are raising in their comments that they brought to us. And also, some of the issues that are raised, it's like the issue of the deductions. There are serious issues on how much should be deducted from the older person's pension when she comes to stay in an old age home. So there's been a lot of abuse around how much people are deducting, and the Act is silent on that. So we felt maybe we needed to regulate on that, and we need to look at whether we put that in our social security where the grant comes from, or we find a way here. So those are the challenges that we are sitting with now. But it doesn't mean that we are not attending to them. Another issue is the fact that the provinces themselves were not paying an equal unit cost. So we need to also look at those. Those are some of the challenges that we are seated with to ensure. You would recall when we presented the legislation, the provinces said we are fine with the legislation, we are prepared to implement it provided you make funds available for us, because what you are writing there are the basic needs of the older person, but we want to know whether there will be enough funds. So we've gone around to the 9 provinces to try to talk to the CFOs to ensure that they look at the Older Persons Act and look at the sections that that might lead to some litigation or clauses that are compulsory for them to be able to prioritize and budget enough, because we are hopeful that with the process that we have in hand, we think by the end of July or August of this year, this act will be in place, so everybody will be able to implement it. So we're still trying to get everybody on board to ensure that they're able to do this. So this is how far we've gone, and we're still busy with the inputs that the people are making. Thank you.
Yeah. Can we follow this process that is the older person from also make a quick input, and then we thereafter we just members will start asking questions of seeking clarity and comment about the whole thing. I'm happy to say that the older person forum has been part of this process. I hope they are not trying now to have a bite on the cherry. I think when they have been a part of this process, I think they would be able to clear some of the things that may not be presented correctly. I see that you have all these people who made submissions, and I still come back to business unusual. Umas ngabani apa and bone, of course, I have a big corner, ngoba kakwazi ukubhala, ngoba uphela abantu abadala phaya. Mhlawumbe into, something that we need to look, which is how do we have these people who would love to say something, but they don't. Look, they don't buy us at the time. They meet every month, in the first week of the month, all must be awareness. We must find a way indeed to come closer to these people. They don't meet us at the time. They don't even know where are these things published. You see? We need to find a way of actually, that's where the biggest problem is. I hear you talk about shifting away from residential care. Because that's where the last majority of these people are found. I don't know, there was a show on TV on Sunday about the regulations. They're saying quite interesting things, but it's not here nor there. But I'm trying to appeal. We need to find a way. I don't know whether we still have time for that, but we need to find a way to get over to the older persons for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. We've seen several drafts of the regulations now, and I think, you know, they are, this draft is better than previous drafts, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. And reading through this draft, and my colleagues here as well, we have the feeling that what's still missing is somebody sitting in a quiet room with a hot towel over their heads, going through line by line by line and making sure the columns all fit into the right, opposite the right columns, making sure there are no omissions. The whole thing has got to be proofread very, very carefully, and it hasn't been done in earlier, and it's not done in this version. And one of the obvious complaints is that the Appendix A and Appendix B appear twice in this regulation, this draft. Now, if they hadn't, it would have been 30 pages shorter, and it is. It's 140 pages could have been 110 pages, and it would have saved 3,000 pages when you brought it down here, and how many trees. So this is just an example of how it must, you must find, you know, computers, it's so easy on computers. It's too easy. We must go back to editing. That's my first appeal to you. Let's edit it before another government gazette comes out, the cost of which, you know, is escalated because of unnecessary repetition. Okay, that's the first point. It's good to see that you've circulated the submissions that have been made, and we need to now check that those submissions are included in the latest draft. Now, obviously, they won't all be included, but some of the most important ones, particularly the kind of textual ones, should be included.
Mary, sorry, just can I check if members, I don't have the copy of comments or submissions. Oh, do all members have one? Oh, okay. Those who don't have, they can come and collect theirs. Thank you very much. You can continue.
Okay. The first point we wanted to... But the second point I wanted to make was that there are no regulations for Chapter 1 of the Act. We have asked for some mechanism, and I know this committee doesn't like mechanisms. I think this came up in the Children's Act. But we also want a mechanism so that services can be planned and so that state employees can be informed of their obligations toward older persons. Then the Act promises all levels of government and all organs of government will implement the Act in a coordinated, integrated and uniform fashion. How can they do it if there's nobody sitting and keeping an eye on them? And I think maybe this falls under Ms. Thuli Masangu's monitoring tool. Maybe that's what we should be calling it. But that tool, intergovernmental monitoring tool, is also required. Chapter 2 on the financial awards. And Ms. Masangu has dealt with this. This is the question of some kind of uniformity in the subsidies or the financial awards. Because there's none at the moment. Subsidies have been frozen in many provinces, which makes it unattractive to new service providers and also very difficult for service providers to provide decent services. Okay, that's Chapter 2 on financial awards to service providers. There's also no provision in that, Chapter 2, for services to be rolled out in unserviced areas, notably rural areas, where currently there are no services. How do we get existing service providers in urban areas to commit themselves to going into rural areas? Or can we, or can the government itself or local government do the job? There's nothing in the regulations which seems to make that possible, either local or provincial government. So we face a situation where we may just be regulating existing services in urban areas and overlooking the needs of the majority of old people who are actually in rural areas. Yeah. So I think we must try and tackle that. Chapter 3 on community-based care and support programs, and I think Ms. Masangu has dealt with that. Our problem with this, the basic needs for survival. I mean, that's not what the Act talks about. It doesn't talk about basic needs for survival. It talks about acceptable levels of service. I mean, we've got to try and get away from that. And I think So I'm happy with the clause 6 in the regulations, and I can't tell you what page it's on because the version that was emailed to me, it's got different page numbering from the Government Gazette, so I don't want to waste your time on that. But just to tell you that we think the regulations should apply to minimum acceptable levels of service. We don't want to regulate the fancy services which you get if you go into a retirement village in Century City. You know, we can't regulate that. And yet, Chapter 6 talks about intermediate and tertiary levels and talks about podiatry and excursions and stuff. You know, now I must hasten to say that that is not in the norms and standards. But your norms and standards in Appendix A must match with your Clause 6 in the body of the regulations. Otherwise, we've got kind of two different ball games going on. We're not interested in if they want to have excursions and go up the mountain and stuff, you know. No, we don't have to regulate it. It doesn't need to be mentioned in this regulations. Okay, that's my appeal. So the levels, and Ms. Matango again has clarified the levels. They are namely level 1 preventive. So that means like clubs and some kind of training, income generation, etc. The intermediate level, which is like assisted living, and the tertiary level, which is continuous care. So, you know, those must be our three levels, not three levels of ability to pay. And that's where Clause 6 talks about levels will be determined by need and means. No. Levels will be determined by need alone. So we must get rid of the means. Okay. From Clause 6, because that's very confusing. Monitoring. Again, I think Ms. Matango has dealt with that. The need for monitoring tools. The Act is weak on monitoring, particularly on monitoring community-based services. And we need to give that a lot of attention. And I think, you know, we can leave that to the department to do. At the moment, no monitoring occurs except when homes and luncheon clubs account for the subsidies that they received. That's the monitoring. Are their books in order? But how the older people in the homes are being cared for is not monitored. Unless somebody, some unfortunate incident occurs, and then people steam in and try and sort things out. So monitoring is critical, particularly in homes, because people are so vulnerable. Okay. Now, Chapter 4 is on residential care. And the definition of residential facility includes retirement villages and government-run homes. Now, previously, the government, I don't know about retirement homes previously, but the definition in the Act is broad enough to include retirement villages, government-run homes, and existing residential homes. This is very important. But one of the omissions from the regulations is minimum norms and standards for admission. Now, the Act provides for the Minister to make regulations on minimum norms and standards for admission. And what we've been mainly concerned about in the past is that the racial composition of homes, that people should be admitted to homes regardless of their racial origins. But a more important, urgent issue really is that people should be able to get into homes if they can't afford to pay the fees, if they're social pensioners. That's the critical issue. If somebody has nobody to look after them at home, has been neglected or abused, they need to be able to get into a home in a hurry. And at the moment they can't get into homes because even those with the best will in the world can't afford to accommodate them because government subsidies are much too low. So something must be done to make it possible for people who desperately need care, inner continuous care, to be admitted to homes. Something must be done because the minister has powers to make regulations and we must do that, which this is a burning need. Okay. The next point I want to raise is the residence committees. Now, I have been suspicious because I can hear the residential, and please, those here who are in the residential field, forgive me for saying this, but I am suspicious that the outcry about residence committees after we published the amendment to the Aged Persons Act has died down. Why has it died down? Why are the residential homes now saying, okay, carry on with the residence committee? So I've been interrogating this question and I've come to the conclusion that under these regulations, the minimum number of people on a committee is 5, actually 6. 2 residents, 2 staff, 1 community representative, who's actually appointed by the manager, and the manager. So guess who's got a majority on the committee? Not the residents. The committee elects the chair and vice chair. And they call meetings. But no number of meetings is specified in the regulation. Although the Act states the minister must prescribe the number of and procedures at meetings of residence committees. So I personally have knowledge of a home where the chair died, as people in old people's homes do. The new chair did not call any meetings. The committee has collapsed. Management is high and dry. So it is essential that there be something which says that homes must call meetings at quarterly blah blah blah, so that because the responsibilities of committees, residence committees, are huge in the Act. They include ensuring the manager provides quality services, training for staff, sound financial management, dealing speedily with incidents of abuse, consulted on the appointment of staff, and establishing complaint procedures. So these committees are not just a kind of a rubber stamp concession to residents. They have a critical role to play. So, please, Ms. Thuli Mahlangu, attention please to the residents' committees. We need to tighten up the controls. We need to hear those managers jumping up and down again and saying, hey, you know, committees are getting out of hand. Yeah, we want to hear them. All right. Chapter 6 on protection. I'm sorry I'm going on too long. Protection always gets left to the last, but in a way, it's the most important question in the Act. It's the most important. And there are many, I think you have copies of this submission, and you will see on page 3, pages are not numbered, I'm ashamed to say, that, you know, we have suggestions to make as to how this can be strengthened, because the Act is very clear, but the regulations in a way must repeat the Act so that we make sure that the Department of Social Development, for example, in educating police and public servants, you know, is that these clauses are strengthened and are reinforced so that some of the strategies for dealing with abuse are spelled out in the regulations, like, for example, removing the abuser. He doesn't appear in the regulations. It's one of the options. Removing the person who's abused to a hospital or refuge, removing the abuser is very important. then, for example, the on the register, there's nothing which says that the Justice Department has got to notify the Department of Social Development of who has been convicted. It's only people convicted of abuse who go onto the register. But if nobody tells the department who's been convicted, the register's going to be blank. There'll be nobody on it. So employers are going to be employing staff, but they can't check whether they've got a record or not because nobody knows about it. And the last thing I just want to say is that we've had a number of guidelines from the department, such as the frail care guidelines, the guidelines for community-based care and support, the elder abuse protocol. I want to know how they fit into the regulations. And I think at least the regulations must refer to those guidelines, but I don't know. It's just a suggestion. Yeah, that's all I want to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. I see that before he continues with the work, I just want to make just one or two comments. And thereafter, I think the department will say something and members will be free to ask questions of clarity. Let us appreciate the two presentations we just started. This was our second presentation. I think it was very constructive, I hope. And I think the department will take note of these things and would, you know, highlight us and look at them. I hear you, Mary, saying that this committee does not like mechanisms. It does not like mechanisms. I'm not sure about that. I still have to get an explanation from my chairperson why. There are things that really we do not like, particularly when it comes to coordination, integration, and monitoring. I must say I'm impressed with your last remark about the committees in the residential areas and about the ethics of civil servants, state, you call them state employees. And honestly, I want to say this publicly. I have given up, literally given up, go to any department where services are supposed to be given. People are angry. They treat you, if there are two people, someone can say if this is not true. If there are two people, they go and have tea and seats and pick up the phone and they keep on chatting. Once the two start go towards the street there, they will seem to be busy. They will have 100 papers serving one person. I don't know what is happening. I will do proper monitoring of things. I've got specific examples. Taking people in my car, very poor people, to be told in the police station that, look, the form is not here, go to Springs or come tomorrow. What a simple matter. Then you go to Home Affairs, then the lady is angry, is fighting, you know. Then you go to the Department of Transport to renew your license. Just on Monday, this happened on Monday, I was watching because I had to pick up somebody there. What is happening? Maybe this thing of business, maybe, you see, with due respect, comrades, sir, I think the comrades that I was jumping up and down with, provide a better service. It's disgusting. It's terrible. And you're right. Are these people told how ethically they should get out their door? Having said that, look, I'm sorry about that. I just get emotional sometimes because poor people, the downtrodden people, are affected. And you also, I hear that you are so phone and there's a line that is saying, it's a complete disaster. Can we commit ourselves, take a pledge, not only for the children, but for civil servants as well? I'm telling you, anyway, I'm not saying anything. I didn't say anything. Can you, the department, more or less comment on some of this?
This is just saying something. I admire the way you spoke now.
I admire it. No, I'm not supposed to speak, but I want to say I admire
it. All right. Good morning. My name is Michael Masuta. I'm sure our honored guests have already been welcomed by the acting chair, but I would like to echo my special welcome as well. I must start by apologizing. Somebody was talking about service delivery earlier on. I spent almost an hour just to get my myself a temporary card to be able to access this thing, because three of the temporary cards that I was given kept on not responding to the machine, so I had to go back and queue again until I eventually, the IT company eventually had to punch in things in their computers to make those cards work on the system. Anyway, I had misplaced my card, so I was trying to get the temporary card to access it. I just wanted to, I understand the department has already presented. I'm surprised the presentation would have been done by now, because I assumed that they were going to go through the entire set of regulations. I'm not sure whether we will have another opportunity this year to go back to this regulation, for reasons that I'll explain later. We have a very tight legislative program ahead of us this year. I'm coming from a meeting with the Deputy President, the Minister, and the DG, and various chairpersons were meeting with those teams to look at what legislation to expect and to prioritize legislation. So we may find ourselves again working into the late night like we did last year with the children's bill. But we'll come back to that. I suppose it's time for questions and comments on both presentations, I would presume. I think that we'll just proceed on from that note. Is there any other comments that anybody or questions that anybody else wishes to raise?
No, thanks, Chair. excuse me, and many thanks to the presenters. A few points, Chair. The outline of the department was more on the procedure or the processes followed, or that's still going to be followed in terms of the processing the regulations. The presenter is mentioning task team for this, task team for that. Perhaps if she could share with us what's the format? Is it a departmental task team? Is it intersectorial in terms of departments? Is it including civil society? And then the process after collation or collection of the submission, would there be an opportunity for stakeholders to have a presentation or oral engagement with the department? Also, Chair, there was the obviously you are correct, because in the presentation there is a mentioning of the time frame that indicates August in terms of completion of this whole process, which means it would be way, you know, in terms of our program, it would be, I mean, almost by that time, I'm sure that the program would be already clocked up with all other things that we are scheduling for that period of the year. But then to
Parliament is in fact expected to adjourn this year in August.
Yeah.
For members to go and prepare for election.
Yeah.
So anything that goes beyond August is for the next parliament.
So in a way, Chair, that's why earlier on, Chair, there was a bit of a viewpoint that was saying perhaps the session today was premature and all of that, but that gets sorted out. That the session was more, it's more important to assist us to share and to be able to understand the regulations that we'll be able to take oversight on some of these things. But also, the concern about the three levels, I think the department needs to, I don't know if they thought, I think for clarity purposes, I think I would want to get more detail in terms of the costing part of the regulation. Because the department says simply because of the affordability or cost issues, they decide to simply stick with basic services, which the forum is saying is a departure from what the Act is saying, which talks about acceptable level. To say that I think the department by now it should have a clearer view in as far as this is concerned. I heard that they are saying that they would do terminology, they would streamline the terminology and all of that. But change the deadlines in the deadline for the regulation, to be frank, was last year and they're already delayed by then. And with this extension now again, they are saying, the department is saying that extension was also not even by the department, was asked by the stakeholders as such. But then the department, they've got issues that they themselves are not clear about, this issue. So the costing, Chair, perhaps if they could share with us as to, you know, what is, I don't know if there are figures anyway, but to hear, I would like to hear how much is this that they are scared it's going to be ballooning the whole service structure for the elderly. Then also, Chair, what in terms of the human resource strategy, I would like to hear, you know, the department on what is the human resource strategy then, in terms of whatever, whether it's the basic service that the department thinks it would afford if it remains at basic level. Thanks, Chair. I think I have others, but I'll have to regroup my thoughts. Thanks, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I also want to welcome the presentations. I'm fascinated by one question that has been raised by Mrs. Turung. The relationship between means and needs and what informs that relationship. If there is a necessity for that relationship, you know, what motivates that? For an example, Mr. Turok made an example of people who are highly affording. If they want to go and stay in mountains, that should not be regulated, because they are not going to be part and parcel of the public system. So we can't regulate them. They have a lot of money. They want to stay in Kastenbosch and so forth. So they must do so, and the government should not intervene. However, when now there is a proposal of relating needs to means, there is an outcry. So I want that to be further explained. Two, the question of admission. I want a further explanation. If people are going to say that there are no norms and standards, particularly for admission, which is opening, you know, an opportunity for people to be discriminated against when they want to access that. So do you think those norms and regulations can? Because I'm just making an example. If a home that is highly expensive is there in the mountain for people who are affording, but deaf people are not allowed to enter, how government is going to intervene in that situation? It's affordable, and even this person is affording to stay there, but because of the color of the skin, is unable, or maybe because of disability, is unable to access it. So how government is going to intervene in that situation if they are not regulated? I also want that to go to means and needs issue. No, I want to fully agree on the question. When we talk about the structures that should govern these institutions, I think the best interest of the older citizens is the one that has been taken into place. That is why when we formed SRCs and the PTSAs before, we made sure that the voice of students should be heard. If you're going to have one student, it's useless that body. Decisions are going to be taken. So now, if now you're saying that this management committee is only having one person who is a resident, it's a problematic one. So I think we need to talk about that, to regulate how many that residents could occupy in a committee or management committee or residence committee, and how many management and staff. Because if it's two from the staff and it's one, a manager, that is three already, and then one that is appointed, so they are outvoted already. So they cannot voice anything. So I think we need to take that one very serious. And also I agree with the question of the number of meetings. We know how many meetings are supposed to sit. Executives are supposed to sit maybe four times a year, you know, and the others six times. So I think that one also should be. Because how are you going to say that management committee is not working? How are you going to determine that? You know, because you know that if they did not sit three meetings out of four, that is dysfunctional committee. You know, you cannot sit one meeting when you are supposed to have four meetings per year, and what are you discussing there? So I think I wanted to agree with those ones. But I want to agree to Mr. Solo. You know, I was very shocked when we were told that this committee doesn't like mechanisms. Maybe someone must expatiate on that. Yeah, maybe we do not know how to deal with mechanisms, or the way we deal with mechanisms is different from someone that thinks that this is not the way to deal with mechanisms. So I think that one is very important. Thank you very much.
I had Ms. Sampo.
Thank you, Chair. I'd also like to thank the presenters, and I'd particularly like to thank Mr. Shurok, who's clearly gone through the regulations with a fine tooth comb. It's totally unacceptable with me going back to this problem with bad editing. You know, we had endless problems with the Children's Amendment Bill, and I really would beg the department to make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen again, and who is supposed to be in charge of that, because it's just not acceptable, and we don't need to go through that kind of mess again. And the people can't actually work out where they are and what matters with what. It's just not on. In the presentation from Ms. Landrup, she said that we've had so far, I think, comments from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 8, 9 organizations or bodies, as far as the presentation is concerned. I'm sure that, I mean, I don't know what kind of input does the department normally gets on this sort of thing, but that totally, to me, would be insufficient. And I would like to know, what have they done to make sure that people are more aware of these regulations and that they are being approached for comments, perhaps, so that we get a broader outlook from the general public? And what is the date, the closing date for submissions, please? And then as far as Ms. Turok's presentation is concerned, I couldn't agree more that we need an integrated government, intergovernmental monitoring tool. And if the fact is that we are only monitoring on a financial basis of a subsidy as to how they're given out, clearly it's not good enough. And it's really inexplicable that we have to wait for a crisis to occur with some elderly person or some organization before something is done to see how the people are being treated there. So I'd like the department, I'm sure there must be some other way that things are monitored, if they could please explain what that is. And if it's not, then we clearly need to do something about it. I'm also, like Mr. Nkongi, very disturbed about the way that the levels of service are provided for, unless I'm misunderstanding, and then perhaps the department will help me out there. But it once again goes back
to the fact that it seems that the poorest people who can afford it the least and have the least means are the ones who get the most basic type of service, if it in fact the levels are based on financial means. And it's really, it's not acceptable. So I'd just like some clarity on that too, please. Thank you, Chair.
And I was relying on the teacher.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Trudy, for the presentation. My colleague, Ms. Temple, has said a lot of what I wanted to say. Always believed, and I think that we should have the residence committees should be on a pro rata basis. I don't think it's quite fair if you've got 100 people staying at the home that they should be only represented by 3, plus the other 2 would obviously select themselves. So I do really think that we have to do that. And I have to agree with Mary regarding the rural areas. I am currently running an old age home in a rural area, and if Trudy went there, she'd probably chop my head off. The big problem is we've got 40 old age people there. They have literally been dumped there. We were chucked out once by the municipality, where we lost 2 old people who were devastated and just went off, and they both died. One got killed on the roadside, and the other one died himself. We eventually got the place back again, and I had a phone call from the Department of Trade and Industry telling me that we were kindly to remove our residence because they wanted it as a training centre. Now, I think this points really to an uncaring government. We've got these 40 people who, I can assure you, have been dumped. They have nowhere to go. We were phoned up, we've got 2 of them from Blood Street in the middle of Pretoria, where the police just came and dumped them there because they were sleeping in the gutters. Now, if this is what we're going to think about old age people of our country, I think we've got a lot of thinking to do. This home is run, we run it on a shoestring. The people do not want chairs, which we have some fancy social worker coming in and saying, these people have got to have chairs and tables. Well, they will not put the chairs and tables because they're used to sitting on the ground. So, they have nice warm blankets and they sit on the ground. We are then told that they have to have all sorts of various things, which they don't want. They want a roof over their heads, and they want a full tummy, and they want love and care. And that is what they get. And I think this is the way that this portfolio committee has got to go regarding the old age people in rural areas. Thank you.
I think that one of the things that would need to happen is the department would need to also respond to the forum's concerns. I don't know if the department has already responded or talked to the responses that they have to the comments that have been made by the other stakeholders, because that is partly what we are hoping to achieve out of this meeting. To deal with substantive issues and not only deal with process. Because process will not take us anywhere. We might, like I said earlier, we might never have another opportunity to engage on this matter. My other concern, of course, is that, well, not really a concern. It's just to indicate that in terms of the Act, the committee's approval is not mandatory, it's not a requirement, right? But the committee nevertheless exercises oversight on the executive in terms of implementation of the legislation. And to the extent that the regulations as an implementation tool are not adequately responding to the legislative instructions contained in the Act, we can step in and exercise oversight on that. But let me at this point just allow the department to respond, whichever way they wish to respond, and then we can go for another round of questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will try to respond as much as I can, and I would appeal to my colleagues to respond to those questions that I may not have dealt with properly. I would first want to indicate that we take note of the concerns that this committee and the forum is raising, and as we are still in a process of ensuring that these regulations are able to implement the Act as we planned, we hope we will be able to do that. I just want to clarify some of the issues, especially around the levels of service. The levels of service that we meant is that preventative level, the intermediate service, and the continuous service. So in that preventative level of service, that's where we try to ensure that the person is able to live as independent as possible. And in the middle level, we try to ensure that we give the necessary support to enable the person to live within the community independently. And then the last level is the level where the person is unable completely to take care of himself. So that's where the levels are. But I think the confusion that has been created has been about the basic service and the affordable, and then where Kirov indicated that we seem to have based the services on the means instead of need. The services are based on the needs of the community, not on the means. However, when we did the costing, we indicated the type of service, what the government would be able to pay for basic service, what is needed. So that is service number one, where we said the government needs to make sure that these services are in place. That is the basic service. And we calculated, we looked at how much would it cost the government to ensure that the older persons, like the one that Mrs. Weber referred to, are able to be protected as well as to be offered the basic needs, shelter, food, and whatever. So at that, if that person is to remain in residential care for whatever service, our costing of the legislation says the unit cost of keeping that individual is 1,788. That is what was acceptable when we looked at the budget and what the older persons would require. So currently, like we are saying, the provinces are not paying the same. So why we are visiting the CFO is to ensure that each residential care facility should be able to have a unit cost of 1,788 for each individual that it keeps. And then for community or integrated community-based care, we also came with a unit cost of 264 per individual, which is a new service that was not well covered because we were more on residential care and people were not providing a similar amount. But with the new legislation, government would be able to provide for the basic care. The other levels would be for those private homes where people would, out of their own choice, like Bussi Churok indicated that other people would want to do those excursions and the like, even if they do that, but if the government is to pay basic, it will only provide basic. They will, on their own, if they need that extra, then they can do that. But we are costing all our service at basic level so that we are able to meet services to older persons in rural areas, in areas where services have never been there. And we are hoping that older persons themselves or communities would come forward and indicate what type of service they need most. Or we would make sure that we create enough awareness on what is available for older persons, because most
of the people perhaps in rural areas or where services have never been there. People are not even aware of what their rights are. That's why we are now looking at ensuring that we popularize the legislation, the regulations as much as possible. Unfortunately, perhaps we are not reaching all the desired people the way we would want. But we've gone through the media, the radio, we've hired a truck to go to rural areas just to popularize the act and indicate to people that there's still an opportunity for you to make your comments. The act is not yet in place, but this is what we're doing. So with the budget that we have, that's what we're trying, so that we get as much comments as possible. Yes, it's true that the admission norm maybe is not well specified, but in the act itself we've indicated that for admission people should not be discriminated against in terms of race or affordability. We're trying to have the services distributed equally and that they are accessible and affordable to all those who deserve them. So unfortunately for those that are in private and in retirement village because of what they can afford, we won't be able to reach for those. But for the frail older persons who require care, we will still be able to go to those areas and render the service and demand for the basic norm. That's why we are attaching our regulations against the minimum norm. To say if you want to start the service, this is the minimum requirements that you have to do. And we have to strengthen our mechanism for monitoring whether the older persons are able to receive the minimum service that is required. We will look at what Mrs. Churop indicated in terms of the regulating around the residential committees. We will need to refocus on that and finalize. But on all services, be it a community-based service, we would want the older persons themselves to be part of the committee so that they can be able to dictate what they want to have, and also that that be delivered with dignity and respect. And the department must be able to provide the basics, both in terms of the person who must come and supervise as well as the person who delivers the service. Those are some of the things that we're faced with as challenges. And concerning the human resource costing, we had a special unit in the department that looked at the act as well as the number of people who have to look at the social work act. I'm running short of the proper ways, but I know that we had a retention strategy for social workers and trying to attract because we realized that we lack the resources. So I would like to stop there and hope that my colleagues will be able to assist before I confuse myself more.
Thank you.
Sorry, that's the department, and their colleague that's been on the other person. So I have a question about the costing. I'm not sure whether it's been dealt with exhaustively. There's an element to it also, and that is the fact that the services, according to my understanding, are budgeted for at the provincial level. So how that gets managed is another question. Because if it's the province and its budget that provides the service, including the subsidization, what influence does the national department have on that process? All right. And somebody raised something about the costing in relation to the regulations. Do the regulations create additional costs beyond that which the Act creates? And wasn't the Act actually costed at the time? It went through cabinet. I know that we only dealt with the Act after the bill, after it had been through the NCOP, so it didn't start with us, all right? And we did make quite a significant number of, in fact, a number of improvements on the bill when it came to us. Although with a limited time, I'm not sure how much justice, because that was one of our other concerns. The original text of the bill, we felt at the time as a committee, did not significantly change the status quo. And it may well be that even with our intervention, there's still more work that needs to be done. But can I just check with the thing that Mary raised about the composition of the committee, of the management committee? That should be prescribed in the Act, eh? Because then I suppose any change would require a legislative amendment, is it not? So it's something that's being regulated in the regulations. If that be so, then I do think that the issue of representativity on the side of the residents needs to be looked at very closely. But let's hear the responses to the outstanding questions which have not yet been responded to.
Thank you, Chair. Just want to once more thank the committee for inviting us. And also to say that it's, again, as has been indicated, this is work in progress. And obviously, it is work in progress. As we get the comments, they are integrated into the document. And, you know, obviously, at the time, it's difficult to actually look at editing the document because it's only once we've received all the comments and incorporated the comments that will then clean it up and then look at which areas, you know, are still lacking in terms of editing, but also in terms of content, and then go back to the text. Or should it there be a need to do so, to look at those outstanding areas. So in other words, what I'm saying is that we will be looking at the editing the document, but also aligning the Act itself with the regulations, making sure that there is an alignment between the Act and the regulations, and that everything that is covered currently in the Act. I think, as I say, it's work in progress. We're looking at it, and we're trying to address it. But I just want to also clarify some of the issues. I think I would agree with members who feel that we shouldn't be regulating for, high-level services, if I may put it that way, for want of a better word. We should be regulating for the needs of people out there and what are the needs that we can, you know, how we can meet those needs and how we can best do so within the resources that we have as a country. And I think that in terms of costing, we were expected by Treasury to come up with different scenarios to say that this is scenario one, scenario two would be for those intermediate services, and for scenario three would be for high-level services. But we said, as things stand now in the country, we need to look at what is affordable for this country, because we cannot come up with a Mercedes-Benz of services when we cannot afford it. So we have to look at what is affordable in the country, but I think this is what we should be regulating for. And I hear what the members are saying in that regard, rather than looking at other services and saying and it should not be controlled by means. It should be based on needs. And having said that, Chair, I just want to also indicate that what we had done with the costing, yes, the costing was quite comprehensive, and it looked at those different scenarios. But over and above that, what we then did was to go and look at the cost drivers for service delivery, to say that if you want to have a community-based service for older persons, what are the cost drivers, and how much would it cost per person to actually do that? If you want to, and that has been done even before the report, the legislation itself was presented to the portfolio committee. At the stage at which it was presented to the NCOP, that had already been done. So, as you remember, that there was no provision for community-based services in the earlier part of the legislation that was initially presented to the portfolio committee. Yet in terms of the costing, those cost drivers were identified and unit costs were arrived at, which Ms. Makango alluded to earlier.
Maybe just to clarify that point before Minister Trevor Manuel lynches us, because he almost did that to us with the children's bill. We are accused of having pushed the purse for the children to 51 billion. Although my argument is that even if you had to give provinces that amount today, they wouldn't be able to spend it anyway. They don't have the capacity. But yes, the basis on which we insisted that community-based services should come back into the Act is because we looked at the policy itself and we saw that the policy was much more comprehensive than the bill. And it just baffled us at the time that we have a policy that's been agreed to and according to the department had been costed, and yet the legislation did not reflect that policy. So it was on that basis that we made that intervention. But sorry, I interrupted you. Please proceed.
Chair, I am agreeing with you. I'm not saying that it was wrong for the committee, but I'm just saying that when it did the costing, we actually looked at residential care, we looked at integrated community care and outreach, we looked at home-based care, we looked at poverty relief and economic development, and then we looked at capital, and then we also looked at administrative cost for running the programs both at national and at the provincial level. And then we have included your personnel and so on and so forth. So what I'm trying to say is that what we gave to the portfolio committee in terms of the fact that the costing was more comprehensive because of the service itself and what it ought to be rather than the legislation the way it was at the time. So whatever comments were made by the portfolio committee were to some extent already addressed in the costing of the legislation, in the costing of the service. So but I think this is what he reported on earlier. But as I indicated, what we have done also now recently, I think it was last year, to actually look at the costing that we've done, whether we had done previously and whether it's still applicable currently. And we don't have the figures for that now, but I could provide the committee with those figures if the committee so wishes. But that has been updated to be in line with the Act at the moment and the needs that we have in the country. On the issue of personnel, Chair, I think the difficulty that the department has had over the last few years is that we actually did not know what is the service that needed to be provided until we came up with the legislation. We have just come up with norms and standards overall for service delivery. And with those norms and standards, and we've taken, of course, different pieces of legislation into consideration, the Children's Act, the Older Persons Act, and other pieces of legislation and policies that are in existence at the moment. And we're looking at norms and standards for service delivery to think what are the minimum norms and standards that you require for each of these services. And in that way, what we will then do, we finalize the first phase of that process. We are now in a process where we are about to do time and motion studies, you know, to come up with operational norms and come up with time and motion studies. Because at this point in time, we cannot, if you were to ask us, except for the Children's Act, to say how many social workers do you need in the country, we are not actually able to tell you because we have not really, you know, done a lot of work in terms of what is the expected level of service delivery from communities and how can we then ensure that those services are rendered by the right people in the first place, because even the social workers that we have in the country are completely overloaded and overused, I mean, utilized for all kinds of things. And yet we've got social auxiliary workers that are underutilized, we've got child and youth care workers that are underutilized and so on. So what we're trying to do is really to look at what is the scope of services that we require in each area, and then to say who is best placed to render those services among the social service professionals that we have, and then to then determine what time would it take a social worker, a social auxiliary worker, and one of you to actually render the service. I will come and make a presentation on request. I know your program is full, but it's a presentation that we made to MINMEP, and it was very, very well accepted. But it's something that we needed to do. It's going to take us a while, but it's something that we need to do in order to be able to ensure that when we go to Treasury and request for funding, we go there on the basis of well-researched information, and that we've got a good basis for the request that we're making. In fact, the management of personnel itself, the new legislation that we're coming up with on the social services profession. We are in the process now of receiving comments from the public on that bill. It's a social service profession bill. And that is the bill that is going to manage all social service professionals in the country, including social workers, including home community-based care workers, whether they are in older persons, they're doing, working with older persons, people with HIV and what have you. And in that, we've made provision for registration of all social service professionals in the country, because how do you manage them if you don't know where they are, you have not registered them, if there's no legal framework for them? We've got a code of ethics for social workers, but for the rest, it's not there. So we're trying to streamline all these things to make sure that at the end of the day, we have an accountable cadre of service providers that know that there can be action taken against them if they do not comply with whatever regulations they are. But in addition, I think the Council for Social Service Professions also made a presentation to this committee on the code of ethics and the fact that they are publicizing it. They are making people more and more aware of their rights as service recipients. And therefore, I know it's going to take time to get there, and as Honorable Mr. Solo indicated, it's a problem across the public service at this point in time, and even in the private sector, it's still a problem. But it's something that we're working on. In terms of your question in relation to the provisional budget, again, it's something that the department, especially with Treasury, is looking at. At the moment, we prioritize, we decide on priorities for the national department, in fact, for the country as a whole. And these are taken to HSD, which is the head of social development, represented, provincial heads of departments represented. We agree on the priorities. But when you look at what those priorities are then, how those priorities are then presented to provincial treasury, you don't get a sense that the priorities that are at national level are taken down to the provincial level. There's a disparity. Even when you look at the budget and expenditure and everything else, it's not in line with the national priorities, because provinces have got their own provincial treasuries, they've got their own way of doing things, and they've got their own pressures in terms of their, legislature and the executive and so on. There are certain pressures that they have. So there is that discrepancy, and across, I think it's a problem across government. But we have just had a stress stand where we are looking at that, and also looking at getting provinces to really align their priorities with those of national, especially the APEC priorities and so on and so forth, that we make sure that at least it's aligned and that the resources then reflect those priorities. But for the Older Persons Act, the money had already been given, lots of money was given to work, it was given to provinces in 2006. But we don't see that money is redirected to other services. We don't see an improvement in terms of service delivery. And we take the responsibility that it is our responsibility as national, but the capacity that we have now is still not sufficient for us to be able to go through provinces and to actually do that monitoring work that we ought to do, and it's something that we work on. Okay, I think I'm not sure. In terms of monitoring and evaluation, like I indicated, we have a system which is called Developmental Quality Assurance that we're looking at. But if you look at the children's bill and how you know, the personnel that we have in provinces at the moment, the bulk of the personnel is focusing on children. Social workers do children work because this is court work and so on. There's very little attention given to other services, older persons, substance abuse and what have you. And this is, these services are mostly rendered by the NGOs. And the support that we're giving to NGOs, again, is not adequate. We acknowledge that. And we seem to be knocking against our head against the wall. Every year in Treasury, we make requests for additional funding for NGOs. But it really is very, very difficult to get that funding. What we are doing now is the whole issue around norms and standards. We're hoping that through the norms and standards project, because those norms and standards are applicable for both government and the NGO sector, and really keep them to a minimum, so that at least when we go to Treasury and request funding, then we are sure that at least we can talk to those issues and make sure that we given the you know, we don't have to hold the cap in hand, but rather we informed by research and other issues. Okay, I'm not sure. In terms of Ms. Tulop's comments, I think we have taken those, we've noted those. I think Ms. Matango has responded to some of the, I think I've been on the floor for too long, okay, I need to take a breather. And I'll just run through my list to see which
I myself am going to have to leave to a meeting of cheers. Comrade Louis, you wanted to make an urgent intervention?
Yeah, just to I asked two questions. They may look process issue questions, but they're quite critical for better waiting. One of them I asked them, after collection of these searching submission, would there be an opportunity for the stakeholders to put their case across, or somebody would work on a discretionary basis,
yeah,
to say, we take this, we leave that. It's an important question, Chair, in a sense that, and then the second one, I wanted to have a benefit of understanding the work of these and that task team that were outlined, whether they were just, it was just to assist to put this document together, or these are, and then are they across departments, because the critical part is coordination and integration. I need to understand some sense of this task team, where they just have to ask to complete certain tasks and that's it, or what are the roles and how were they formed?
Just before you respond, let me just indicate that from our side, we are not holding public hearings on this. This is not a formal public hearing. And as I indicated earlier, the rationale being that the law does not require us to approve the regulation. Of course, we could have put in a clause to that effect. But there's a bigger issue, and that is the fact that the Constitution enlists Parliament to create a system for exercising scrutiny over delegated legislation. I chaired a committee that recommended such a system to Parliament back in 2002, and to date, those recommendations have not yet been implemented. At the Rules Committee last year, the matter resurfaced, and because I now chair the Bureau of Rules of Parliament as well, we were asked to draft rules to create such a system, at least an interim system. We have made those recommendations. The Rules Committee has adopted them, but Parliament itself has not yet adopted those recommendations. So until this system is put in place, there will continue to be some kind of a grey area as to the extent to which Parliament can dictate to the Department as to the extent to which Parliament can or not approve regulations before they come into operation. So the legal status now is that these regulations are presented before us for notice and for purposes of our exercise of oversight on the department. And in that spirit, if there are any members of the public that have serious objections with policy or anything that the department is working on, we would create a platform such as this. Hence, we specifically invited this particular forum to come and talk to us, because they raised the concerns with us, and will continue to do so in the future. But for all intents and purposes, the ball is squarely in the hands of the department. They don't have to delay this because somehow they believe that they are waiting our approval of it. Nothing stops them from implementing regulations tomorrow. And in fact, that's the point we want to emphasize. This bill was passed in 2006, and it's 2008 now. I'm sure the people out there who are eagerly awaiting the service are wondering how soon will this come into operation. And our main concern, whilst we think the department must take time to apply its mind and address the issues raised, they have to begin to move with speed in terms of implementation. So I really would want the department to address that. But before I leave, and I'm going to hand over to Comrade Solo to take over the chairing of the meeting, I just want to indicate that to the committee that we are awaiting the bill on substance abuse. As soon as it comes, it's going to change our program altogether, because we're going to have to restructure our operations in such a way that we focus on that particular work. All right. Still with the state law advisors, apparently it might come in next week. All right. So ready yourself for that. There are three more bills that are also coming, but all of them are small technical bills. One is going to propose the introduction of a board for SASA. The other one is going to introduce the changes to the social assistance system that the president announced was the week before last, relating to reducing the age of all these grants and increasing the age of child support grants. All right, and the final one is just to provide for increasing the number of board members for the NDA. We, acting on behalf of the committee, I have assured the leader of government business that this committee is ready and willing to tackle the work at hand. And as we've done with the child assistance, children's bill, we would even work into the late night if need be. I have committed you in your absence again to that impossible task. But finally, to say that in 2006, our energy focused around older persons because of the older persons bill, although the children's bill was also keeping us busy at the time. 2007, we focused on children. Now, 2008, our main focus is going to be on substance abuse. So hopefully in the next parliament, the next portfolio committee might have time to revisit this area of older persons. Because like I said, the bill itself was not introduced with us. It was introduced with the NCOP. So we came in at the tail end. But I think that it's becoming clear that that whole new legislation may need to be revisited sooner than we might be expecting, judging from the sentiments that have been expressed. Unfortunately, it won't happen this year. But I think that in the next year, once the new law has come into operation, we must start looking at what are the weaknesses in this legislation that need to be strengthened. I think on that note, please, excuse me. Sorry? I can't hear. Oh, sorry. You still want to entertain us. I'm not so sure why in particular they feel that social development would benefit. But probably must get drunk. They had wanted to entertain us tonight, but I'm going to first meet with them to get a sense of the rationale behind it. Apparently they're involved in social programs that they would want to market to the community, you know, at community level. So the whole dinner has been shifted to the 5th of March, and I'll give updates next week. We are on course in terms of preparation for our overseas trip. We have decided to prioritize substance abuse over inter-country adoption. So we're going to do that one first in order to do a comparative study of how other countries deal with the problem. We envisage a situation where we might get almost entirely funded from outside and simply ask Parliament to pay for our SMEs. There's an organization that seems to be willing to take the entire committee with their support staff on this tour. As you know, Parliament usually sponsors for maximum 6 people, and my attitude is that it doesn't help us for a handful of us to be empowered and the rest of us not to be empowered, because then we can't engage with the issues on the same wavelength. So our approach is that if we do go on this trip, everybody must be part of it. All right. And what we're looking at is a possibility that the trip might actually spill over to a second week. We're looking at possibly starting in Brazil, proceeding to Cuba, because Cuba has very strong social policy and systems that we want to examine, and then have a first world kind of experience to see how it compares with the developing world experience by going to Canada. That would be, so we'll do a kind of a round trip of that nature. All right. On that note, I hope that I've not only brought bad news for the committee in terms of the hard work ahead, but some good news as well. The trip is going to take place in, we agreed, in May from July. Currently it was the 6th to the 9th, but I think it's going to spill into the following week. All right. But we'll keep you updated as soon as we're able to report progress in Africa. On that note, Comrade Acting Chair, thank you for holding the fort in my absence, and please continue to do so. And I wish everybody else luck in the deliberations. I hope that some of the input that are being put forward would help improve the system for older persons in our country. And maybe in the future, as a committee, we will find time to really go back to this issue and go out to the communities and see for ourselves whether these services exist and whether people are actually accessing them. All right, thank you very much.
Thanks. I think they were excused. I think there were follow-up. I mean, there were questions that were not responded to. I think Mr. Nzimande had highlighted some of them. Hello, but I'll still ask the department to continue with its responses.
Thank you, Chairperson. Concerning the task teams that we had, we did have a multidisciplinary task team. We had other departments. We also had civil society and people who are providing service on a private basis, so as to be able to see the scenario from different angles in terms of the expertise that we needed for that particular task to be performed. We also tried as much as possible to have the human rights in all those task teams. Unfortunately, not all departments turned up at all meetings, but health was there throughout, which is one of the critical partners in all the task teams.
How do you prevent Calabar?
Chair, just respond to some of the questions that we did not respond to. I think in terms of
this. Gloria was not taking notes. What was the second question? Okay. Right.
Yeah, you can continue.
Yes, sir. It was the issue around the Calabar in facilities and the extent to which you are going to
prevent admission, you know, or rather exploitation of people in terms of admission to facilities due to the means, the financial means. We've got a tool that we are using to ensure that people get admitted, and whether it's a world-class institution or very advanced institution, the position that we've taken is that the department will only fund people who have a basic need. So whether those people are in your emerging residential facilities or the previously disadvantaged facilities or so, or whether they are in your most advanced, what the department has done is just to look at a team that will go and do the evaluation, and also to look at funding and buying of beds in whatever facilities that people need to have access to. So whilst the service might be unaffordable for people, what we are trying to do as a department is, within the resource constraints of course that we have, to buy beds in those facilities and subsidize those beds in the facilities, so that at least you create access for people that don't have the means. And it's not the best way to do things, and the legislation is here in terms of discrimination, in terms of color, means, or whatever. But there was also discussion when it discussed the Older Persons Act around freedom of association, that if people want to have their own thing that's not funded by government, that is above, like, your, for instance, most of your Jewish homes and what have you, you cannot stop them from doing that. But rather you can actually get a way of ensuring that people have got access by subsidizing the bed for those people that are closer to those facilities and subject to agreement with the management of those facilities. Might not be the best solution, but that's what is in place at this point in time.
Where would the subsidy come from government?
Yes, ma'am, it could come from government.
What is the channel to be followed?
What happened is that through the D298 process, people who want admission to old age homes are then referred to the department, and then the department then gets in touch with whatever old age home is closest to them, and then they go through. There's a team of the department together with the team of a home that actually does the screening of the people, and then the people are then placed, and there's agreement on how much the department will be paying for those people.
Not taking back, but you come from the Free State, you know the enormous problem that puts me as a person in this particular area. I get so many requests and I never know what to do with them once they do not qualify, because they don't receive us. a grant, a old pension.
That's a challenge that has been put to this forum today. With that subsidy from government, then the people have got to contribute a certain portion of their pension to their upkeep, because it's not enough. The subsidy that's paid by the government is not enough. And in any case, it becomes dual subsidy, even though, you know, they agree very little, but it still becomes dual subsidy. So what we then do is that, you know, then the home negotiations are held with the home. If you look at Moyale, for instance, in the Middle States, there are more blacks that are coming in now, whereas it was purely white, because of the fact that we buy those beds and say we're subsidize people for this amount. You know, and it still creates problems, because if you subsidize them at a lesser amount and the home provides a service of a certain level, do you mean that you have to give people less food or less care? Or those are the challenges that we don't at this point in time, you know, have solutions to. But what we are saying is that, and there's an agreement with the home, that there's some kind of cross-subsidization, that those that have subsidized and are given, they still eat the same food that is eaten by everybody else within the home, and they're not discriminated against, and they, you know, they get the necessary care because of the monitoring there, because we do annual monitoring of these facilities. Not to the extent that we should, but at least there is something that is happening in that regard.
Yeah.
I just want to get it clear in my mind. There are people who have not reached the pensionable age, but must get into some kind of institution because there is absolutely no care taken of them. They are destitute, but they have not reached it easy. Does this kind of subsidy also cover such people? I need to be very sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor. I think this is a matter that we need to interrogate quite separately. But if the department has got an answer that says yes, not an answer that says we are still going to be in the land, you should rather keep quiet now and forevermore. Amen. Do you have an answer?
Okay. Subsidy is not only for old people in terms of age, because we provide a service across the board to all people that are indigent, that are needy. So if a person hasn't reached pensionable age, you still have to pay the subsidy for them to be admitted. For instance, the indigent people, the homeless people, there's room for all those people in this facility.
No. You see, it's good. I have noted the WIP. I have noted Mama Zala. I think it's good to have a veteran. You know, and I think Lou was correct. You know, we share information for the purpose of this engagement. I hear very, very interesting things in this meeting from the department. But really, at some point, at some point, I never worked for the department. I've never worked for the state. I worked in the factory and I worked in the union. At some point, I think we need to know all the services that are said here. I think we once made that request for frail people, for innocent people. You know, we need probably, what do you call it, a list, or a, I don't know, how can I call it, an information pack that tells us. You go there, you see, if I go to that door and I don't have the right key, I won't go through that key. All these things, and the right, you know, all these things really, Carol, that you are telling us now. I've been here for the last 8 years. What? I don't know, I've never seen. You know, you can see that. I don't know, I'm still an activist. In fact, one somebody said in Gauteng, sorry, you must remember now, you remember, what I mean, you're no longer an ANC organizer. That things that you must just ignore. Frankly, that person is correct, ma'am. But now, we are a veteran. We are raising these things. And I start to realize that what I've been trying to do is correct, taking from your cue. So we please, I think all these members who are here, irrespective of, I tell you, sorry, irrespective of party, political party affiliation. Can we get something like a Bible
You see, like the people in the church, when, I mean, they can't read, but they can tell you exactly when things in the Bible, and who is the bishop, and the priest, and the deacon, and the mother's union, you know. There is a such thing. I don't think we can be surpassed by people who just only read the Bible. Can we get these things, and so that we can have it as a crisis out there? We see it on daily basis. To an extent, we are both going to certain areas. But I'm not saying anything about it. I'm just appreciating all what you said, veteran. I allowed you because you're a veteran. At some point, I was tempted to stop you, but I said, but this is a veteran. She has lived life. She has seen more than I've seen. Thank you very much. I'm pleading to you. We have time. No, that's fine. We would need a session. Maybe put in your diary. Remind me, I'll speak to the secretary, I'll persuade the chair person. I also sit in the management committee anyway. So we look into all these services. Where are they located? How are they accessed? You know, because they are not there. In the real world, they are not there. Some people might be able to access them, but they are not there. I've been to these schools where they are now multiracial. Don't be shocked on what you see. I didn't go there to do an oversight, but an old cousin of mine said, hey, man, my uncle, you remember I told you to start with this there? Can you take us there? You know, it's out of the way, they're not taking us that way. Hey, I was shocked with what I saw there, but I'm not saying anything. I think, can I go back to the two questions? Yes. After we then take the whip and Mama Zah.
Mr. Chair, just in terms
of... No, I think it sounds...
I just interrupt. I have to leave a few moments.
Can you
switch
on that thing?
Oh, okay.
Can I make a point? It's not usual, you know.
I know, but I so much, in view of being the older person, I think here I may be the eldest. I'm just on 80. Just on 80. So I have to say this, that I've come a long way. Like you, I have been an activist. And I have, as I said earlier on, I admire the way you spoke. Because when we older persons have to meet younger people in official positions, we quake, we shiver. Because we do not get the attention that we should. And we do need people that honestly care and that honestly can monitor these things. For number one, I've been sitting on this bill from day one, and up till now the thing is not still complete. So I hope I'm still alive to see it completed in the proper form. That older persons have to have our dignity retained. We are the vintage of this country. We need to be treated with the respect that we should. Whether we are old in the street, in the gutter, in the shabin, or wherever. Yeah, there are older persons that because of the stress of being abused in the homes, they turn to liquor. These are things that have to be investigated and have to be thought of. Young people sit here and look at these things and try and work out what is good for us. Bring more older persons on this, where older persons can have an opportunity of saying exactly how they feel. And Mr. Chairman, you would go a long way. Don't regard us as something out there. No, we are human people that have done our stint for this country. We have produced you younger people. We have given you this opportunity of getting there. It is now your turn to show us that you return that honor to the older persons. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, we appreciate your input. You see, Makat, the Mama. This is Makat.
Yes.
She's actually here in Cape Town.
That's right.
Can you switch off your phone? You see, just speak to her, organize a forum. We don't have to go to Transit. Keep on here. Yeah, I mean, you stay here around.
Yes.
Old age home.
Yeah, no, you'll call up your old age home. We'll jump into our little cars in Texas with some members who may be interested. I know they are all interested, but they are very busy. And I commit myself to that visit so that we talk about all these things and these concerns that you are raising and find a way of making sure that they are dealt with. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Continue, Claire.
In terms of the comments, I think we, once we've integrated the comments, the probability is that we're going to have a workshop with the sector, including older persons, because with all our deliberations we have older persons represented. Just to finalize that, that's a response to Honorable Demand's question about whether we are going to have any forum when we're going to discuss the final the regulations once they've been finalized. We are going to have a workshop with the sector to discuss the final regulations before then we submit them for approval to the department. But here I just want to again say that otherwise the process of consultation goes on and on. But the important thing is that we can actually get it's not cast in stone. Even if it's approved, there could be amendments at a later stage. Should there be a need to have those amendments? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, this is part of consultation anyway. The whip would be followed by Mama Zara.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one question from the department. Does the department have a data of all the homes around South Africa? Because I have visited three homes. I cannot even explain or elaborate what kind of homes are those, because they're so horrible. Those old ladies are sitting there struggling. They don't even have toilets. I thought those were privately accommodated there. But I checked with the council. The council is aware of the conditions that they're in. And there's another old lady who's just waiting to die. Staying in an icy house, alone in that house. She refuses to go out of that house. So just like the department maybe to, sometime when I'm home, to come and see by themselves what is happening there. Very, very terrible. Nobody can stay in those conditions. Even if you are drunk, you can't sleep there. So I want to add that out of this meeting, someone must just talk to me and we arrange when I can take them just to view the place. Three homes and one house of an old lady. Very terrible. Thank you, Chair.
Ms. Frasbari.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenters. My one concern is that when we talk about old age homes, you'll find that where our people are staying, they do pay the homes from the pensions they receive, and sometimes they are left with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether how your monitoring system is. And on top of it, you have to still give subsidy to the home. So I think we need to oversee this to see that at least they could have a couple of rand for them to spend for some little goodies they want to buy, you know. And I think this is becoming a serious matter in various homes where all the pensions are taken away. Thank you, Chairman.
I think we are gradually running out of time. Ms. Makas, is your hand up? Okay. I think we're just moving towards the conclusion of this meeting. Can the department maybe respond if they want to, or if they don't, maybe they've noted this point. And as we have said, it's a consultative process. I think interaction will still be open, you know. But anyway, over to you.
I've noted a comment from the Honorable Whip, and we will make the arrangements.
with him. But I think the issue of the portion is something that, portion that must be paid from pension, it's something that needs to be regulated. Even if it's a percentage that you give, we're not sure what, but I'm aware of what the honorable member is talking about. The very old age home that I'm referring to in Bloemfontein, they took the whole pension and yet they still expected people to buy soap for themselves, to buy this, to buy clothes and what have you. So I think it's something that we have to come into the regulation. Thanks.
I think now with people making a lot of noise in the corner because they hear, they could feel the smell and seen things coming in, I think really we shall have to move towards closer. But I would before that, I think we have exhausted most of these things. I think there are two specific requests. One is from Mrs. Weber about the situation. You see this thing of not proper coordination and people talk. You may even find that that department did not check with social development what is there to assist you. The council as well did not. It's what is happening there. I don't want to use the word harmos. You know, it's just harmos. You know, you see councils doing terrible things. You know, the last thing they're going to close down that home of yours and throw those people on the street instead of assisting you to serve that problem. You see, so so what I'm trying to say, can we, because that's a matter that needs intervention in the process, and also Uma Amalapaya, just, you know, to just get into contact with those people. You see, as she has said, you see, we activists, we close our ears and our eyes, we don't know the law, we just do what we think is right and we contribute to the welfare of the society. It's not about me, Mama. It's about us, it's about our people, the kind of values that we are inculcating. Is that the right way to inculcate? In the society. Now we must make a pledge. Because the society is sick. When they look in schools, we said, no, don't play. Don't do all these things. You are playing. Now to take abuse of freedom. Now we must have a pledge. Next time we say, you must pray on Monday and Wednesday. People are doing this thing. Somebody is very clever. Very clever, I don't know from where. Can they say, this is New South Africans, you are free. Don't pray anymore. Don't recite. It's wrong to say, what is the recitation? What is it? Ubushala, Utabula. I need to write a lot of Napalan said, Utabuzi. It's easy. Hina, never Fanandi. Hina, what on it? Go to Papa, over in the Sabu. I must not do those things. Now, later, we see, there's a need for a flesh. Now we fight about the flesh and the ways and all these things. Why is that person who advise us to do away with these things? Because you are coming to play, you wasted a lot of our time. So what I'm trying to say in a nutshell, we need to come up with values. All of us. And we need to work together. The trust we're talking about. These members have never seen this. Why are you members not seeing this trust? Where are they going? We don't get this information so that we can assist. Send them over to Abahani. See, Yafaya, without taking sleep, Uncle Kunsh. Where are the trust? We don't see them. There's a problem with health. Health has taken off certain services. They've taken off, but they are in this trust scheme. You see, so I'm trying to say, Mama Kelly, you know I'm nobody. She knows I sit next to the door there. Let's find a way of informing, you know, this. There are how many members in the National Assembly? All of them. To say our trust is going to Ferenc and Pat, is going to pass Mayor Court, your constituents. I'll make an effort. I'll go to Karan Deep and say, give me the trust where you put your cows. Put the people so that they can go and speak for them. Come, give me that truck. I don't have to ask for money from you, from the department. You see, because the department has got money for a big show in Cape Town. Zona 7 will be there. And who's this guy, other guy? Mandoza. But he does not have money to have those poor sheep, Mama. Who started their own little choir. They are trying, struggling.
They can't even buy a uniform. They can't go. I don't know how they manage to go to. I know I contributed to take them to a competition. But why are we working like in content for the same people? You see? So I appeal, you know, we need to improve things just in terms of business and human. Oh, no, thanks. Yeah, I'm sorry. Food is already there. I'll give the Freedom Fund. Oh, sorry. Forum, yeah, no, sorry. Just 3 minutes to make a last comment, then the department will make a last comment, and then we'll go to something. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for preaching.
I don't think I have anything to add to your comments. I think your sentiments are accepted by all of us here, and we all pledged, I'm sure, to do our best to improve the lot, particularly of older persons today. And I think, you know, we're going to work hard with the department to ensure that these regulations, when they come out, are covering all the prison weaknesses. Thanks.
Thanks. I'll give over to that department before I talk.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's always refreshing coming to the portfolio committee because you get it like it is. And Chair, we will send all the documents that we have, the directory of services that we have, not just for older persons. Some of them we are updating, but for disability and whatever you say, where are the services? But Chair, also that we will send batches and batches of all the policy documents that we have in the department pertaining to different types of services to the portfolio committee so that at least you have an idea of what it is that we are proposing and what have you. And we had requested the NCOP to assist us to brief provincial legislatures and the executive on all the policies that we have in the department, because we have these policies, but the extent to which they are implemented on the ground with a different story altogether. And we still have a responsibility for monitoring. But at this point in time, we are not doing the monitoring to the extent that we should. Thank you, Chair Veteran.
Yeah, before I ask the veteran to tell everybody has been here, I think everyone will support me. I think Mrs. Turok, I'll call upon you when I approach Professor Charles van Onselen. And I'm going to ask him to make provision for a bag ticket and a big hat and a piece of paper taken from your comments. I've been doing a lot of things. And I don't have the black ticket. I sometimes say, look, probably if I had the black ticket, people would listen to me. But Charles provided certain lectures to me. And what I like is that he actually correctly predicted our liberation. He correctly, and fortunately I was not alone in that meeting when I was with him, but he was giving me lesson about African studies and the evolution of society. He's sort of a South African Marxist, you know. So I used to go there to vet, I don't know, some arrangement was made for me, it was probably a little bit stupid, to go there and be, you know, be skilled better so that when I deal with big corporates, you know, I must be able to articulate issues in such a way that they understand what I'm talking about. So he made me to write an exam and, you know, read a lot of books, and he was very strict. I had to be there in time, but he could not give me the bread jacket, you know. what I had from that is a little certificate that I've been there for labor law studies. Just a certificate. But I think he'll support me when I appeal to him to consider giving me the bread jacket and the host, because you agreed with all the things I said. I would now ask the veteran to thank everybody for being here. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. Host.
Thank you for taking me to the shoes of the chairperson, who's getting busier by the day. Today has been a very refreshing day, particularly for us older persons. We are going to make our presence felt. Whether you like it or not, you say to the department, you are going to know there's an old Winky the Record, there's a Mrs. Durant, there's so and so. we are not going to take it lying down. We are not going to allow it to be made dormant. Because as our comrade there said, and I also said in this paper, we don't want things done for us. We must be consulted. That is why, in spite of the uncertainty when we started, I think it was a good thing to have everybody here, particularly the older persons forum, which represents us all, and they are in the thick of things. They are the right good people to be here to advise us on obstacles that they find as they try to improve the quality of life of older persons and getting our pound of flesh, getting our pound of flesh for the older person. We are very grateful, Mary and Jude, you doing a fantastic job. We want to thank our ladies who are here. Kubuga Utanda, we are not going to get old in a hurry. We want to thank them and thank the department for availing themselves. This has been a very refreshing session. Please come again. We need to be educated. You know, some of us are here on the last leg of our journey in Parliament. Come the elections, I don't want to see myself here again. But while I'm around, I'll really make the department sit up. I don't promise you sweets. I promise you, you know, I'm a teacher. In the old days, the chairperson says things have changed. They say children mustn't even get a spank on the right place. And that is why there's because of lack of discipline, they've now become the victims of drugs. In the olden days, we would have beaten them out of us. And finally, thanks for the committee. And I've said on your behalf, I take the liberty of thanking the chairperson who sometimes goes off at a tangent because he gets emotional. But he's very true to himself. He does work. He's not just an MP in a tie in Parliament. Back home, in his back home situation, he really gets around. He knows what's happening, where, and how to tackle some of his problems. The department has energized us. We will go back and handle some of the problems that we confront. And I couldn't agree more that we must have a session where we have a litany of things that are possible, things that we can do for our people with the assistance and particularly the financial assistance from the department. On that note, thank you very much and do come again. And good luck.
Sufficient unto the day that they will take off. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Oh, maybe I also come.